It is a pleasure right now to welcome in an old friend of mine. The reason for it, per se, is probably not the best of occasion, but honestly, we're going to talk about the passing of Mel Stottlemyre. Mel Stottlemyre does, brings a smile to my face, and I'm sure to this gentleman's as well, the voice of the New York Yankees, John Sterling. John, how are you?
Well, I'm good, Eddie. I'm sorry I'm coming on such a sad occasion, but I wanted... know the audience to know what kind of a guy Mel Stottlemyre was, because he was a really very unusual guy. And, you know, you're going to read a lot of wonderful things because so many people thought the same thing. And I've heard the comments from the Yanks and from Hal Steinbrenner and the Mets and Joe Torre. And, you know, I'm probably not going to break anything new, but he was... He was really just a tremendous individual, very unusual kind of guy.
He was a tremendous pitcher and a tremendous pitching coach as well, a great human being. I got to know him first with the Mets toward the tail end of his time there. But, you know, anytime I would see Mel after that, we would always talk. He would always say hello. He was just a terribly warm human being. When did you first get to know Mel?
Well, in 1996, Joe Torre became manager of the Yanks. And as he has said, he didn't know Mel and he didn't know Don Zimmer. When he asked Zimmer to be his bench coach, Zimmer said, if you're being asked to do this by George or someone else, I'm not going to take the job. And Joe said, no, I want you to be my bench coach. And then he went out and hired Mel Stottlemyre as the pitching coach, and as Joe would say, so here are two people surrounding him. Boy, what a great group, huh? What a great trio, trips of Stottlemyre, Zimmer surrounding Torre, and their success was phenomenal. And Joe wound up becoming unbelievably close friends with both Zim and Stottlemyre, as frankly I did too. You know what Mel Stottlemyre was? You know, kind of in cliche form. Mm-hmm. He was the strong, silent man out of the West. He was a man's man, and yet very gentle, very humble, very bright. And, he joined the Yankees in 64, and they were, at one point going into September, they were six games behind Baltimore and Chicago. And he went 9-3, and he helped the Yankees win the pennant. And what do you think happened? Everyone got old. They had no farm system anymore. And the worst era of Yankee baseball occurred. And yet, he pitched. He could never do it today. He pitched complete games. He pitched 270 innings. He won 20 or more with what were terrible teams. And when they started to improve a little bit, he had a rotator cuff problem before people knew what to do with the rotator cuffs, and that was the end of his career. But he obviously resurfaced both with the Mets and Yankees as a pitching coach. Anyway, he's a very unusual guy anyone would like, a true man's man.
No, he really was. A 20-game winner three times. You think we'll see that very much these days? Probably not.
I think he had over 150 complete games. You think we'll,
amazing.
We'll see
that? I don't think you might combine the staff over a period of years. You won't see that. That's
well, you'd have
sure.
to combine, you know, there's usually two or three a year. You'd have to combine the staff for about 50 years.
I'm sure.
So I know that baseball is gone, but he was pitching for awful teams.
Exactly.
Think how well he could have done if those were the real Yankee teams.
I found it amazing, and you obviously, you know, you were younger then and in New York, but I did find it amazing that 64 season, as you mentioned, you know, he came out, I think he made 12 starts, and he went 9-3 with like a 2 ERA. He had been pitching really well at AAA, and they needed help, and he came up, and boy, did he give him help. But he also pitched three games in the World Series that year against the Cardinals.
He was matched up. The Yankees that year, they lost in seven. That was Yogi's year managing.
Mm-hmm.
And they played the World Series. I mean, this is, you know, how life goes. They played the World Series without Whitey Ford and Tony Kubek,
right,
who were both out injured. And they lost in seven, and he started 1-4-7 against Bob Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
And
Tough
and then,
task.
And then,
I think he beat Gibbs in one of the games, right? In the first game, the first time he faced him.
And, you know, then the Yankees, you know, fell off the cliff. Yeah. You know, players either retired or they just got too old. But you know, really, I'll tell you another thing about Mel. I didn't mention this, and I should. I wonder if this will come out in the different eulogies. When he was diagnosed with cancer, it was 1999. And the diagnosis was, the prognosis, I guess I should say, was 5 years, that he wouldn't last 5 years. Well, he was so tough, yep, he lasted 20 years.
Pretty good.
You know, that was pretty good. And he would come to, don't forget, the Yanks are in the World Series in 99 and in 2000 and 2001, and he didn't want to stay away, but they didn't want him mingling with people in case of germs. And so he came to Yankee Stadium, and he sat in Joe's office, and that's how he took part in all of those games. So,
well,
as I mentioned, he lasted 20 years, so he lasted a lot longer than anyone thought.
No question. And that's a great definition of a man's man, right there, John. That you know, a guy who can last through that and go through the pain that he had to go through. There's no question about it.
Even though he was, everyone knows what a great pitching coach he was. I mean, there's no question. Look, you know, and I know. I mean, we've both done a million games in our life, and players win games. But to have that threesome together for the Yankee run, Torrey, Zimmer, and Stottlemyre, it didn't hurt. Let's put it that way. It didn't hurt at all. And Mel had a very gentle way of expressing himself. The Yankees had lost a game. We lived in the same area in Edgewater. Mm-hmm. I mean, he lived there, you know, during the baseball season. He and Gene had an apartment in Edgewater. Anyway, so if one of our cars was fouled up, we would drive each other home. And I was driving him after a loss, and this pitcher, you know, gave it up. And Mel said to me gently, he said, "He gets every out except the one he has to get." That was Mel. And every time the Yankees came to Seattle, he came there, and he was in, you know, Joe's office or Joe Girardi's office. And you know, he lasted 20 years, so that's a good thing. You feel very sorry tonight, and I'm just here to tell the people who are listening, who, you know, didn't know him personally, that he was, they would have loved to have known him. They would have loved to have Mel as their neighbor. He was a really good guy.
I agree. You know, I think the first time I met him, John, I believe it was 1993, and I was, at that time, I was kind of part-time with the Mets at that time, just kind of starting with them, but he was I believe it was his last year as the pitching coach, too, in 93, and you know, any time I would ask him something, he would always give me full attention and help. And he always would say, you know, if there's anything else I can do or you need help with anything, come back to me. And, you know, to me, that was very special, you know, because I was a lot younger then. I was just starting.
Right.
And he was the kind, he was just a warm human being. I remember Ron Darling telling me one time that he, you know, he would, the pitchers that, you know, were under his tutelage, you know, he would work to their strengths. He wasn't trying to change anybody.
Yes.
He worked to what worked best for them. He wanted to make them feel comfortable and get the best out of them that way. And all of them, Coney, you know, Darling, they all appreciated that. And I'm sure, you know, all the Yankee pitchers felt the same way too.
Absolutely. He worked with all different kind of pitchers. And as you say, he worked to their strength. He was trying to impose his genius. He wasn't that kind of a guy. But so anyway, people listening should know that we've lost a very, very lovely human being, and aren't too many of them around.
You're right. You know. Hey, you know, I wanted to ask you, and I don't know if you recall this. I'm going to go back to 2015, but when he came, and I think he was surprised by this too, when he got the plaque in Monument Park. I think it was Old Timers Day in June of 2015. Do you remember that day? He had to be, you know, fully taken aback.
Well, he was sitting on the bench. He didn't know this was going to happen. Now, I found this out through someone who was really close to him, who's another really good guy, the head athletic trainer of the Yanks, then the assistant to Gene Monahan, Stevie Donahue. He and Stevie were really close. And he's sitting on the bench. You know, we're introducing 800 people. Mm-hmm. And he said to Steve, I guess I'm not going to be introduced. I guess they've forgotten me. And Steve said, no, just wait. And boy, he was the most surprised man in the world when he was really the star of the afternoon with the plaque. Yeah. And I remember it, and I remember his words, which broke you up. He said, well, you know, if this is as far as I go, Heaven's going to get a very good pitching coach.
Oh, wow.
I do remember that so very cool. Well. I didn't know it was, the funny thing, Eddie, I didn't know it was 2015. The year's all blended.
No, that's true.
So I'm glad you brought me up to date on that.
No, that's okay. Listen, the years meld together for me. Days meld together. I don't even know what day it is half the time. But I, you know, that's, I mean, he was a special guy. He really was.
Very,
and, you know,
very, very.
We say man's man, you know, sometimes maybe too much, but Mel was. There's no question about that. And a great family, you know, great sons, and I met his wife as well too. Yeah, no, it's I'll miss. Hey, John, I did want to ask you a couple of things about the Yanks while I have you here, and
right.
I guess, you know, going into the off season, I guess everyone expected Manny Machado to be here, and now all of a sudden it's Troy Tulowitzki and DJ LeMahieu who are here. So things have gone a little bit different, I guess, than most Yankee fans would think at this point.
Very, very surprised. You know what I was worried about? Now, this is me. Now, I'm not saying that what I think is right, mm-hmm. but it is me. I'm kind of a child. Despite my age, I'm kind of a child. I was worried that if they signed Machado, something bad was going to happen to Miguel Andujar. And I love Miggy. He's a terrific kid. Look at the year he had. I know he made a couple of errors. They won 100 games, and they can improve that. It really is his throwing. You know, he drops down and throws sidearm. He throws sinkers, but they can improve that. So, frankly, I'm very happy that they have Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar, and we'll see what Tulu has left. No one knows.
Mm-hmm.
LeMahieu is a very good player. He could play second, and they could put Torres, who really is a shortstop, there. So I was kind of worried about Andujar. If it was me, I would have signed Harper. I mean, it's not my money. Either.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, well, left-handed bat. That left-handed bat in Yankee Stadium.
A
yeah.
left-handed
yeah.
bat. Imagine if he's hitting third,
oh,
Judge
Lord.
Is hitting second.
Yeah.
What a way to begin, right? So, but, you know, I think they'll have a good team. How good? Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to me, and they came almost back-to-back, but, you know, there supposedly wasn't a great fit for Jed Lowry with the Mets, and it was kind of, to me, it was kind of a little bit similar with LeMahieu with the Yankees, you know,
yeah.
no true fit, but still.
And Jed Lowry.
Yeah.
Jed Lowry had a really good
yeah,
year.
Absolutely.
He is a really good player. Yeah. So I would ask you, are they going to play Cano at first and play Lowry at second?
And Lowry could be at third, you know, if they move Frazier, or if Frazier does play some first. Lowry, and he hasn't played a lot of third. I know he's played second mostly, just about exclusively the last couple of years. But I think it does, you know, it probably both moves make both teams deeper, and there's nothing wrong with that, too. You figure it out as you go along, and you try to have some versatility, you know?
You're absolutely right. Injuries occur every single day in baseball. You know, it's one thing for them to happen in football, which is such a tough sport. There's an injury every day in baseball. And the more good players you have, and, you know, it's a very imitative business. By the way, so is broadcasting. It's a very imitative. And, you know, they've seen the last 2 years that the Dodgers have like 15 regulars, you know, and they play the righties someday and they play the lefties someday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is all putting, you know, the more good players you have, the better off they are if they all, you know, buy into it.
Absolutely.
But anyway, Lowry is a really good player.
Yeah, no, he's. I think he'll help. There's no question about that. Hey, John, listen. Thanks. Thanks very much for joining me tonight, and your words about Mel Stottlemyre and your thoughts and remembrances about a terrific guy. We will.
Well, thank you for giving me time on your program, and I'm very broken up because I really liked him. There's so few people that you really like and trust. And we've lost a terrific human being. So anyway, Eddie, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
John, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.